Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now, and let's get to today's breaking and heartbreaking news from the Malaysian government, which says there is no longer any doubt that Flight 370, missing for 17 days, went down in the southern Indian Ocean.
Most of the passengers were Chinese. Some of their relatives were notified by text messages from the airline. In Beijing, many were carried off in stretchers after hearing the news. Why this news now? Well, the Malaysian Prime Minister credited new data crunching.
Using a type of analysis never before used in an investigation of this sort, they have been able to shed more light on MH370's flight path.
And the Prime Minister promised more information tomorrow. Well, Andy Pastor has been covering the story for The Wall Street Journal. Andy, Reuters is reporting that the Chinese Foreign Ministry is demanding Malaysia turn over all its information. What are your sources telling you? Do people believe that this was some new kind of analysis? And if so, what?
Just when you thought the story couldn't become more dramatic or unpredictable, you had really two big developments today. The first one you mentioned, and the developments really show that they're using very high-tech, sophisticated techniques and some low-tech procedures also to try to find out where this plane is. So first, on the high-tech side, yes, this is all new analysis. Essentially, what Inmarsat, the satellite operator, did was it looked again at these so-called pings from the aircraft, which are digital electronic handshakes. And it to put it very simply, the plane was supposed to report back to the satellite at a very precise time on the hour. And so initially the satellite company looked at those returns, and based on the distance from a satellite fixed in space, they were able to determine the time of the reports, and so they created these arcs, which were general areas where the plane could have been in terms of the distance from the satellite. Now what they've done is gone back and looked at the data and actually used changes, minute changes in frequency of the signals back from the satellite, and they were able to compute or estimate the speed of the aircraft. So once you have the distance from the satellite and the speed of the aircraft, of course you can begin to put a much better parameters about where it could have been when the last transmission occurred. Mm-hmm. And that's what they've done, and they've also computed the fuel on board and looked at various altitudes and various speeds. And so I think we're beginning to have a much better picture of the likely, at least the approximate area where it could have gone down. And very quickly, the other development is there are more and more sightings of debris in the South Indian Ocean. Nothing definitive in terms of identified as being from the aircraft, but it really looks like that's just a question of time now. And the low-tech procedures they're using are just people with binoculars on aircraft flying at 1,000 feet.
Yeah.
So you have this huge difference between the techniques.
Well, but just to be clear, we don't know any more about what happened.
No. This will help investigators find the wreckage and hopefully find the black box. But this doesn't indicate in any way what was going on inside the cockpit or what caused this plane to veer so far from its intended flight path. It just helps people understand where it apparently went down.
Well, and how much longer is there to find the black box with its information?
Well, I think that's the big next step. They're going to look very hard, and hopefully they will find it. The electronic pingers on those black boxes only have two more weeks to go, but they've been found before without those in operation. So once you find the wreckage, there's a fairly good chance that you will find the black box somewhere.
Also, heartbreaking news today for these poor people who have been waiting 17 days. And I know a lot of people are reacting to the fact that some of the relatives got text messages. You could say that while there were a group of relatives in Beijing who've been put up in a hotel and getting news, others are far flung, and maybe the airline wanted to make sure that people heard from the airline rather than from news leaks that were happening all day. But apparently the text said, "Malaysia Airlines deeply regrets. We have to assume beyond any reasonable doubt that MH370 370 has been lost, and none of those on board survived. And you're going to hear from the prime minister in a little bit. So that's the text they set out. But heartbreaking, Andy, on that level. But where it's, and we're still nowhere near finished with this story. But where would you put it in, you know, you who study aviation, what do you make of this?
Well, as in every turn in this investigation, the way they identified, the way they told the families of the victims is also quite different than novel. And I think the Malaysians at this point are trying hard to show that they're giving out information as quickly as they get it. And we will hear tomorrow much more about the satellite analysis. But regardless of what they say tomorrow, this still remains an unprecedented kind of event, an accident or a crash. Never before have we had such techniques used to sort of retrospectively look at where a plane was flying and where it went down. Never before have we had a plane flying so far from where it was supposed to have crashed when the transponder presumably crashed when the transponder stopped. So this still remains just a gigantic mystery, unprecedented in aviation. But today is a big day. I mean, today we can really say this is the general area where the plane should be found, where the wreckage should be found. Now we have high-tech equipment by the U.S. Navy and other countries going to on-site, coming on-site to look for it. So this is a huge advance, but it's not the end of the line. It's only the first big step down that line.
Right. Andy Pastor of The Wall Street Journal, thank you so much.
You're welcome.